Blog Talk Radio.
Topics deal with what you
are feeling along the journey. You know, life is a journey. Success, it is not a destination. It is a journey. And you want to enjoy the trip. You want to be able to enjoy the trip. I tell you, there's nothing more sadder or there's nothing worse than striving your life away only to get somewhere and to realize that you really didn't take the time to enjoy the journey. I mean, the good times, the bad times, the sad times, the great times, the happy times, the high times, the low times, whatever times, the lonely times, the times where you had everything and the times when you had absolutely nothing, the times when you were doing wonderful and then those times when you were flat on your back with frustration or you were saddled with grief. There's nothing worse than getting somewhere in your life and realizing that you did not enjoy the journey. So we are here to encourage you to experience what you're experiencing. Right now, we know a lot of people are in a, they feel as though they're in a vice of some sort, some kind of a grip that they're being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed some more. They're being crushed. Well, if you feel like you're being crushed, I would love if I could be in a room right now and I could ask all those people who feel like they're being crushed to raise their hand. If you feel like you're being crushed, oh, just go on and enjoy the crushing. Let me tell you, that's how they get the diamond out of the coal. It has to first be crushed. Sometimes people feel like they're in the fire. Guess what? Go on and enjoy the fire. Because, you know, that's how you get pure gold. It has to be tried in the fire. They have to put silver and gold in the fire to get away all the impurities. All right? Wow, just imagine the impurities being taken out of your life without your, yes, didn't need your consent for that. It's because your creator wants you great. He didn't need your consent. And so sometimes we feel like we're experiencing that. But guess what? That's exactly what you want to experience so that when you achieve what you're trying to achieve, when you're accomplishing what it is that you've set out to accomplish, and you actually get there, you won't feel empty. You won't feel empty. You'll really feel fulfilled. And that's why we're here, to help people understand that what you're feeling at the various stages in your journey is exactly what you're supposed to be feeling, and it's a great thing. It's a great thing. So, as some would say, along the journey, stop to smell the roses. Stop to play with the little animals along the way. You know, take breath and enjoy the scenery around you. Imagine climbing a mountain or climbing some very, very tall building, and you're so busy, you're so worried about getting to the top, so concerned and so bothered with getting to the top, that as you were climbing, you never enjoyed the beautiful scenery at each level. You know, at each level, there's a different scene, there's a different viewpoint at every level. Oh yes, when you get to the top of that mountain, you can only envision what the entire scenery will look like and how beautiful it will be. Well, guess what? On every rung of that ladder, on every level that you climb that mountain, there's a different viewpoint of the scenery. And you want to notice that. You want to look at that. So no matter how hard your journey may seem, no matter how crushed you may feel, stop to enjoy. Take notice of what's around you. Take notice of the things that are happening around you. And you never know. You may be in the midst of a hard thing and be right there with an opportunity. You know, so many people, oh my goodness, I tell you, the graveyard is full of ideas that people had or could have had while they were in the midst of their problem, and they didn't realize it. They didn't realize it, but it's not too late for you. You could be in the midst of something so devastating, but yet there's an awesome opportunity right there if you would only open your eyes and appreciate where you're at. I mean, if there was any single message that I could give or that I wanted to give right now, would be that message to people. Enjoy the moment. Relish this moment right now. Not 5 years when you're, when the economy is all turned around and you're living high on the hogs again. Not a year from now when you're waiting for something and it's about to come but you don't have it yet, but you know it's on its way. No, but to relish the moment that you have right now. That's what time it is. That's the message that I would give, that I would take across the world, across the nation, so that people could see how awesome their life really is if you just look right around you. Some scenario, some situation. Now, as we wait for Mr. Versie Walker to come to the line, I just ask that you would continue on the line. Don't hang up. He will be here in just a moment. But think about that for a moment. Think about that. How awesome would it be if we could always relish the moment? The time right now. Oh, I know sometimes we work so hard, we dream so hard about the future, where it is that we're going, but all the while missing right where we are. You know, just take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath and just take it in right now, because really, you know, this is all you really have is right now. So why not go on and enjoy it? Oh, I know we can't wait for the children to be grown and off in college and doing everything that we prepared for them. But let's enjoy them right now as we're trying to teach them third grade math or eighth grade math or whatever level they may be at. Why not enjoy it? Oh, maybe you're waiting for your marriage to get better. Okay? But why not enjoy the person that your spouse is becoming? Why not enjoy watching them change day by day, day by day, day by day? Well, I'm not sure if Mr. Walker is on the line just yet, but I'm sure he is on his way, and I will just keep you entertained until he gets here. For those of you who are trying to get and tune into the chat room, it will be up shortly. So I know you can hear me, though. I know you're all tuned in, as you are so faithful to tune in. Each and every Wednesday, we have our awesome guest, Mr. Versie Walker, who will be coming to the line in just a minute. Hey, we are blessed to have Mr. Walker each and every week. You know he is on the move. He is definitely a symbol of this show. On the move. You know, you got to be on the move. Leaving the negative people way behind. And that's actually, for those of you who didn't catch that, that's how you get on the move, is by leaving the negative people behind. It's like, the moment you do that, it's like you shoot off like a rocket. You're like, whoa, what happened to my life? Well, you leave the negative people behind, and believe me, you will go further than you could ever imagine. The mind cannot even conceive how far you can go in life when you leave negative people, places, and things behind. Yeah, and if you have to be with negative people, be there for the purpose of trying to change their minds, trying to get them to see. Well, you can try to change anyone's mind, but of course, you know, you can't do it. But you can put the information out there and allow that person to grab hold of it when they're ready. When they're ready. That is our obligation. No, we cannot change anyone. But like the Motivation Master says, you have to plant that seed. We are seed planters. And then some of us water. Remember, some water. Remember, some plant, some water. So some of us plant, some of us are seed planters. And then some of us, we water. Yeah, our lives and the experiences with our lives, they water. And, okay, so I want you to think about that for. Yes, and so I'm trying here to get this machine going. As we know, machines, I don't know why this machine is trying to act up. But let me tell you something. This is what I'm talking about. When you're on the journey, no matter what comes along on the journey, you cannot let it shake you. You just can't. I'm sorry. I wish you could. I would love to be able to tell you to let the journey shake you, to let it shut you down, to let it stop you or hinder you. But I'm afraid to do that. I'm really afraid to do that. So we're going to see how we can make this happen.
Good morning. Hello, Coach. Well, I believe we're on right now. I know the coach was just speaking, talking about the journeys and the desires and the belief system that will actually help to take each and every one of you forward. I apologize for getting on the line so late. I had tough technical difficulties trying to get in. So hopefully, again, everyone is hearing me and listening. I want to say good morning to each and every one of you as usual. I hope that each and every one of you had a wonderful weekend this weekend. I know I did. I took a trip to Virginia for my godson's graduation from Virginia Commonwealth. Wonderful, wonderful experience. Tons of youth who are graduating and I guess taking advantage and appreciating the opportunity to attend school and to better their circumstances or situation, but more importantly, to change the direction of their life so that they can continue on a journey that is probably unfamiliar to them and only been told. So to be able to actuate it or to make sure that it's factual what we tell these kids, I was glad to see that they are taking full advantage of it. As usual, I thank each and every one of you for dialing in. And also I thank the coach once again for allowing me to share my experiences and my thoughts with each and every one of you in hopes to inspire you to become a better you, even in the midst of this storm, even in, you know, times of trials and tribulations. As you said, you must put the gold and also the silver in the fire in order for it to become brilliant, become vibrant. If any of you have ever had a custom-made ring or a necklace, if you were to go in and look at the jeweler as he made it and look at the actual structure of what he's creating, it doesn't resemble at all the end result. It looks tattered. It looks torn. The item doesn't have that mystique. It doesn't have that shimmer, that shine. But once he puts it in the fire and he fouls it down and he turns it and he rhodium, you know, make sure that the ring is smooth, you then have this brilliance. You have this thing that has been under the crushing pressure, under the sizzling fire, that now is something to admire. Some of us are just like that. We're in the beginning stages, maybe in the middle stages, but are not yet complete. We have the tuxedo or the evening dress, but we don't have the accessories. Or we may have the accessories, but we don't have the actual item. We don't even know what color we want to wear yet because we're still in those stages and those phases and soon to be great. And so you have to take that journey. I want to just give a few updates and reports. On tomorrow, May 26th, I'll be at both LaGuardia and JFK airports doing another book signing. So if anyone's traveling, going through those airports, take a look. Your guy is there. Also, I'm putting the finishing touches on my revised edition to my book and look to have it out in hard copy and e-book format, hopefully no later than September. The title of the book is called Powerful Sales Conversions from Suspects to Prospects. And I'll elaborate on the title and the content as the weeks and days go on, but just want to let you all know that your boy is working. He's trying to get things done. So I know a lot of people haven't seen me on Facebook or haven't been in contact with me because I'm just trying to have a dedicated focus, just a laser approach to what I'm doing, because there's a lot of things that are coming out in a lot of part of the year, from branding to marketing to just more exposure, so that hopefully you all can see me and have me in different forms and in different mediums to be able to provide this information and these messages to you. Anything encouraging, anything that you would like to hear from myself or Coach LaLisa, just inbox us. Let us know what you would like to hear from us so that we can provide you information and more that degrees or diverse background from where we've come from. And some of the things that we're going through, have gone through, we can share with you, and we can, you know, provide you maybe that sounding board and or become that voice that you would like to have heard throughout the day. So, again, share with us as we're trying to share with you as well. Before I get started, I want to do to take a moment, and I normally don't do this, but it's just been on my heart and my mind to do so, but I want us to take a moment and have everyone who's listening send up a prayer for those who are in those devastated, you know, areas, especially, you know, who have been traumatized in the recent weeks and months by disasters. And it just seems to be continuously happening and occurring all over the place, from Japan to Mississippi to Missouri. My heart goes out to each and every one of those individuals. And, again, I know they could enjoy your love and support. It's ironic that something just happened in Missouri, and I know two shows ago, I gave the analogy, I did the story of the Wizard of Oz and talked about Dorothy and her being caught up in a whirlwind, and many of us are emotionally, financially, and spiritually caught up in that whirlwind and winding up at a place that we never envisioned we would be. And then here comes 200-mile-an-hour winds and the tornadoes that devastated areas right there in Missouri. And so, again, your prayers are much needed. Your support is much wanted. And you never know who it could be tomorrow because these things happen in an instant. And the situation in Missouri, they got a call on the alarm where they sounded off the alarm in 20 minutes. They sounded off the alarm. They sounded off again in 7 minutes. What could you do and where could you go in 20 minutes to provide a safe haven for yourself and for your family? Some just drop down, kneel, and pray. Others try to find a burrow, someplace to go. But I don't know what I could do in 20 minutes. Standing in line at Walmart trying to get back home, you know, being in my backyard. What could you do in 20 minutes to protect yourself against such horrific storms? Such devastation. People, think about your exit plan, both personally and professionally. Thank God that your region maybe has not been hit or that those type of things don't happen in your area, but there's somebody who's going through a storm right now, right next door. They may smile through it. They may wave at you, but they may just need a hug. They need shelter from this storm, and they're looking for ways of doing it. Some are taking the right route. Some are doing things that are toxic to themselves and to others around them. But needless to say, again, they're going through a storm. And, excuse me, people, sorry about that. What I want to touch on today, the topic, is actually going to be the topic to find out if image is truly everything. And on next week's call, what I would like to talk about is, you know, as salespeople and self-employed business owners, having you or not, or having yourselves or your business not overcommitting and doing what you say or what you promise. So again, this week I want to touch on the topic, is image truly everything? I know we got started a little late, everyone, but I'm going to make sure that we get all the topics and the information out to you. And hopefully we get some responses. Let me know if exactly what I say is true. And when as you know, I travel quite a bit. I'm involved in various activities and not as actively involved as I would like to be, but times are availing themselves to me and would enable that to happen. But as I do travel and meet people, I observe their interaction, how they carry themselves, and what image they may portray. Most importantly, what their image may actually say about them. As someone, as some of you may know, I'm a people watcher. I watch people a lot, looking at every move, trying to figure them out long before having an actual encounter with them, trying to see if I really do have ESP, if I can really read minds. In times that I grew up, understand, image was everything. Your image in the streets of Chicago, at least, meant everything. In fact, then and still today, your image, i.e. your rep, meant the world to you. And if you had a positive or a commanding image, you protected it. But those who had a rep of being a sharp dresser, great dancer, or someone who didn't take nothing off of nobody, that for them is what branding is for Google. When someone wants quick information, whether it's personal or public, you think Google. When someone thinks of a shady boxing promoter, you think Don King. When someone thinks of police assistant, they immediately think 911. So maybe it could be safe to say that image is everything. Then for me, it comes into question, and I have to ask. My question is that if this theory is true, if image is to people as branding is to Google, and Google has an image too, but I just want to take it to a different level, you know, not just always stay corporate, because my personal analogies, my personal examples, my personal statements, they foster or they fall over into the business world, because you can't have one without the other. You can't, you know, have a business without a person. You can't have personal, some people do it without no business, but you shouldn't be in business without it. So I want to talk on the imaging side, and hopefully you grab hold of the branding concept as well. So again, if this is true that a personal image, an image that's portrayed in the media or portrayed in the private sector, if that is the people as branding it to Google, Kodak, Polaroid, Coke, then I have to ask this, why are people not portraying their image as so? If it's that important, why are people not protecting this valuable commodity? Because perception is everything, and controlling perception is hard. Because people oftentimes speak and live in duality. They say one thing and they do another. They have a filthy house to say that they're clean spirited. They are selfish and stingy, but yet say they're giving and they do charitable acts. People will say that they're loving, but every time you see them, they're speaking mean spiritedly. They're talking in spite. So why is it that if this thing called image is so valuable and so important, why are we not protecting it as so? You know what? I just wonder, have we become so lax that we believe that anything goes, and how I speak and how I dress or how I behave in the presence of others really don't matter? Have we become that laxed? Is that the belief? Because we allow children and men to wear their pants halfway off their buttocks? Because we feel confident and comfortable that we can text and share information readily and easily, that it doesn't matter? Is it because we believe that we can pierce every aspect of our body and that you should accept it and me for that? We do have those rights. But what image are we portraying? What message are we sending to others? Because, you know, we are a visible society. We so much no longer believe, we don't have the faith, we don't even have the vision and desire so much so to do anything beyond the scope of what we can touch or feel. Even so much so that we always say, in order for me to, or let me say, we have to say, I'll see it, I'll believe it when I see it. So if we're of that mindset and that mentality that we will only believe it once we see it, then our appearance and our image is the first thing oftentimes people see. And what is that image saying to others? It befuddles me, it puzzles me, it sometimes pains me that I will see a young lady who is offended because a gentleman said something to her out of the way, made a comment about her cleavage or how high her skirt rises or the slit in her skirt. And she put this on knowing this. She did this knowingly. And it's not an image. It's portraying an image. And then when it attracted what it was supposed to, they got offended because I'm a lady. I have a master's or a PhD. I drive this car. I live in that village. Well, he didn't see that sheepskin because you were too busy showing so much skin. Your image portrayed or your image projected or your image commanded or called in those responses. It didn't take away from the fact that you were a lady, but that was the last thing he saw. So the first thing he saw is your cleavage and your thigh highs. What image were you sending? And so, people, we've got to be very careful. If, again, we're saying that the image is to people what branding is to Google. Google is only going to show its image in the right light. McDonald's is only going to portray its brand in the right light, and they will go through hell and high water to protect it. See, Southwest Airlines have an image or a brand of being an inexpensive or a cheap way to fly. They do extensive research to ensure that that image maintains, even in the storm, even through a time of greed of other airlines where they're charging for X number of bags, they're charging for peanuts, and they're charging to watch television. They would do research with their advisory board and say that if we were to include this in our repertoire, if we were to include these fees and features, would that follow the brand? Would it follow our vision and our mission statement? If not, I won't do it. We won't do it. So if the young man doesn't want you to think that he's a thug or a gangbanger or, you know, lack thereof, then why is he wearing a hoodie with his pants hanging down, sitting in a doorway with a gun in his pocket? What image is that sending? He's looking not only of the environment, but about the environment. But that's the image. And we can control it, and we can change that and how we portray ourselves and our brand. Because honestly, people, you are your own personal brand. You are a corporation upon yourself. You are an entity. And you're constantly selling that image, whatever it is, whatever it is. And it's hard to transition. It's hard to change from that image that you first sent out. Now, I wonder, how would you feel if, say, your boss during an open meeting would shout out racial or sexual obscenities? What image would he or she be sending? Or how about if all of a sudden Oprah would start having show topics about one-legged midgets who smoke drugs and mate with animals? That perhaps wouldn't be the image that we have all come to know and love of Oprah and her show topics. We may consider that for Jerry Springer because, see, that's his brand, that's his image. He doesn't care about bringing smut and disgust and just foul and venomous things on his stage. That's what he does. That's his image. Not Oprah's. And hopefully not yours. I think you all kind of get the picture. It is hard for us to imagine Donald Trump without a suit and tie. Now, I'm sure that he looks okay in a pair of Bermuda shorts and tennis shoes. I can't envision it. I can't imagine it. But I'm sure he looks okay. He wouldn't perhaps look outside of the norm of today's society because many wealthy men and women dress like that. However, people, it's not the image that he has worked so hard to portray through his brand. To him, it is unacceptable. It would be also unacceptable for the Queen of England to walk around with a pair of Daisy Dukes. It would probably be out of the norm to watch her wear a pair of beat headphones. However, we are doing this and we're seeing this on a regular basis. This is why it still puzzles me today when salespeople, business owners, and entrepreneurs are no more coveting of their brand than a teenager is concerned about closing the refrigerator. I want to say that again. They are no more covenant, no more protective, no more concerned about their image than a teenager is about closing their refrigerator. See, that teenager doesn't care. I mean, I'm not paying the bills, the foosball, mom, dad, to buy another one. There is no sense of urgency, no need, no reason to close that door. Now, how can someone... Let me see. Why would someone consider or expect for someone to gain access or trust someone else who hadn't even first considered their image? How can I walk up to someone and say, you know what, invest your money with me. I'll take care of it. But my image says something of another sort. People, understand, if you are a hay farmer and you wear overalls and you have on a hat and you live on a ranch, and that's where you conduct your lively business, it would be absurd for me to come in there with my Armani suit and my briefcase and my Alexander shoes. Because this is where you do business at. I'm going to ride on a tractor with you to talk about refinancing or global exposure, et cetera. I must look the part. So then I understand. If I'm going to go to a Wall Street business to conduct business, I should look the part because I diffuse any concern of confusion on where I'm at. I let the people know that I understand the audience in which I'm engaging. But I don't understand how people could believe that I would buy Mary Kay for myself or someone else. And the person who's soliciting me, who's selling this product, who's trying to convince and convey to me how wonderful this product is, they haven't even demonstrated. Their images don't even portray it. They're late. They're fumbling. There is no makeup. Hair's not done. It doesn't say that you're successful to me. That's not the image in which it portrays. See, Coach, you and I have been spending a lot of time throughout the months sharing and caring and being involved with one another. When you tell me there's an event and I know I can make it, I say what I'm going to do and I do it. And I come and I be there. And I, you don't see me in my robe. You don't see me wearing my house shoes. That's not the image. That's not the place in which we would do that at. I think I'm appropriately dressed with information that is germane and significant to that event and at that time, and I'm prepared. I keep telling you people there's only three ways of success when it comes down to business, is that, you know, it's OPP. And I don't mean the naughty by nature version of OPP, but the OPP that stands for organization, preparation, and presentation. If you miss any of those three, you miss the boat. You miss the opportunity. I shared with you weeks ago about Chris Gardner, who, the gentleman who made The Pursuit of Happiness, which Will Smith played in the movie adaptation version of his book. He had a great opportunity to make a great sale as a financial advisor. He showed up late. The gentleman said, thank you for coming, now I'm leaving. He lost the sale because he wasn't prepared. He felt he had the presentation. I'm sure he had the organization, but maybe he didn't because he wasn't on time. So today he wears two watches. That's his image. That's his brand. He wears two watches because he's a respecter of time, people. So that the person who knows that he shows up early on time and not late can feel confident he would take that same deliberation, that same concentration, and that same focus on serving his needs or her needs. So how can you, again, entrust or believe that someone should entrust you with their valuable time, their one greatest asset, when you won't even take the time to worry about your image and how you portray yourself? As a salesman, I am a salesman first. I'm a businessman second. And I'm a marketer always. See, marketing drives your business your way. Your attitude and your image will make them stay. So, again, you can market and advertise whatever you like. It will drive that attention. It will drive that focus. Depending on your attitude when they get there, depending on your image when they get there, depending on the climate or the genre in which you serve, will then make them stay. It will make those people who were sent, who were compelled, who flocked to you, will make them stay. As one of my friends, young teenage millionaire Ephraim Taylor, wrote in his book, The Elite Entrepreneur, he talks about marketing and he talks about ads. And what, you know, he says that ads are what they see about you. So this could be billboard, radio, print ads, etc. Brands are what they say about you. That means the quality, dependability, reliability, cheap, foul, whatever it is. So the ad, so how you are presenting yourself is what people see about you. Then how you conduct yourself, which is that image, in my opinion, is what people say about you. And when they say this about you, if your image is a proven identity, it's something that they will talk about long after the commercial ads run, long after that Gucci dress is out of style, long after your new 745 BMW is no longer new. Your image, your brand is what they will say about you continuously. Man, that Costa Lisa always drives nice cars. Percy Walker always has a clean house. And he's an enduring character. Miss Patricia is always striving for greatness and excellence. I can't imagine her doing anything less than that. There must be something wrong. When I went to his or her house, I drove in her car, and it wasn't what it normally is. This is not her image. This is not her brand. Something must be wrong. It sticks out like a sore thumb, people. See, right now, if you had a cut, you wouldn't say, give me a bandage. You would say, can I have a Band-Aid? Band-Aid is not a bandage. It is a brand. It is a product. It is what people have come to learn and know about covering up a scar. If you're in the South and you ask for a Diet Pepsi, the waitress will say, okay, I'll give you a Coke. Coke is the brand. It is not the carbonated beverage. But this is what people know to be synonymous with a refreshing drink. I think we sometimes get it confused. See, Kleenex is not a tissue. It is the brand. It is the brand that we come to know. Anacin is not an aspirin. It is a company or a brand that sells aspirin, but the first thing you say, I have a headache. You got Anacin or you have a Tylenol? It becomes synonymous. Xerox is not a copier. It is a copy provider. It provides a system. It provides a vehicle or a product that can make copies. But when someone says, can you Xerox this for me? It could be on an Epson. It could be on a Panasonic or a Polaroid. But that has become synonymous. What is your image? What has your image become synonymous with? When people think of latent lethargic, is your first vision, your image, who you are? When someone says honest, trustworthy, and dependable, is that the image that they think of first is you? What has your image said? What has your proven identity provided others? And if your image is something that people talk about, if your brand is something that people talk about long after the commercial runs, and if this concept is why your image, you know, should be so important, if that's what people, long after you leave that impact. Long after your cologne lingers, there's still an impact, the image. People can't get it out of their mind. I talk about image in my book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, and I also pulled that over to my new book as well. And I talk about this image that I had. It was a vision. It was something I saw. While working there in Chicago at Chicago Transit Authority as a ticket agent, we had a system, and they implemented the system in this year. The system was you work 4 hours in the morning. You have a 4 or 5 hour break, and then you return back to continue the last 4 hours of an 8-hour day, which winds up being 12 or 13 hours. I'm driving back to my location. I drive down Michigan Avenue, and Michigan Avenue is equivalent to, you know, the area here in New York, one of the richy areas in New York. So all the shops are down there, all the major shops, Gucci, Louis, Yves Saint Laurent, all these different various, you know, shops are down there, and it's on a Wednesday afternoon, and I'm rushing to get back to work. It is hot. I am smoldering. I'm in a Datsun B210 hatchback with no AC and vinyl seats. I'm miserable. I'm not enjoying my life. I'm not enjoying the fact that I got to go back to this job, that I'm tied to it in my young, tender age at that time. So I'm driving down in traffic, and I'm looking at all these individuals just walking carefree, pushing their dogs, you know, walking their kids, doing all these different things. But I wasn't. And I look over, Coach, this is, I mean, it's just the impression it made on me, Coach. I look over to this gentleman who's standing in front of the Gucci store. He's about 6'5", older gentleman, salt pepper hair. I think he's wearing a Versace shirt, Ferragamo shoes, and actually Ferragamo sandals, and linen pants. He's leaning up against the wall, and he's holding his dog, his pug dog. And I look at this gentleman, and I'm in awe. I'm in awe that on a Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock in the afternoon that he can stand there with such reverence, command my attention. And he's just as relaxed and carefree as you would ever think any commercial who's offering you an opportunity to go to Bermuda would be. And I'm looking at, what the heck is this man doing or has done in his life that he can have these Wednesday afternoons? That he can be sitting there, standing there carefree as I'm hustling back to a dead-end job. That image stuck in my mind the entire ride home. I went through my last 4 hours thinking about that image. Not that man, I didn't want to, you know, him, but I'm thinking about what his image portrayed. He looked sophisticated. He looked, you know, his demeanor. He had, a commanding, you know, appearance that allowed me to look and just gaze. And I'm like, wow. And at that very instant, the light went off. I said, you know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes so that I, too, can have my Wednesday afternoons, so that I, too, can be carefree, so that I, too, can have life on my time the way I want it to be. I didn't talk to that gentleman. I didn't know what his problems was or what his woes. He could have been standing there because he could have been a dog walker, because people do walk dogs and they do get paid for it. But his image portrayed nothing but sophistication, class, and just a relaxed attitude. I hadn't been relaxed in so long. I was white-knuckling into work, white-knuckling at home. I was always tense and taunt because I wasn't living my dream. But his image said more to me and spoke volumes than any word he could say because of him. Today, I'm still using that example. Today, I put him in my book. He didn't put me in his because of what that image portrayed. Mother Teresa's image portrayed one of holiness, one of forgiveness, sovereignty. It portrayed that you too can have peace. It showed others that we can relax. And so you too should be protective of your image, of your brand. No longer allow yourself to walk up to someone and try to sell them dietary supplements and you don't take them yourself and it's evident. No longer walk up to a gentleman or a lady and ask for their time, ask for a relationship. And you won't even covet the relationship. You won't be protective of the relationship because you don't care about your image or ruining theirs. Be careful of these image stealers. Be careful. Protect your brand. Spend the time, the effort, and the energy. Know that people are watching. Know that people are looking to see if there's a chink in your armor. Understand, this is what people do. I'm a people watcher because I want to observe the interactions and the goings-on and the comings and goings of people and how they respond to seeing situations. I want to do that so that I can better respond and relate to them as I'm inspiring, motivating, or encouraging others to do something dramatically different. It's hard to change a situation when you're the problem. It's hard to see the forest because of the trees. It's hard to be able to give advice when you won't take it. See, the signs of a good leader is one who is willing to be led. The signs of a good parent is the signs that he says, or she says, I could be wrong, my children could be right. The signs of a good relationship says that, you know what, we may not agree and we can agree to disagree, but I don't have to be wrong for you to be right. I don't have to put you down for me to stand up. That's not the image. See, the image is so important that you would think, wait a minute, you know, it comes and goes. Fashion comes and goes. You know, we change up. But image is so important is that before Michael Jackson passed, Michael Jackson has looked the same over the course, and I mean physically and or his dress attire, looked the same over the last 20 years. Don King still has spiked hair. Mr. T still wears a mohawk. Who's the guy? Hulk Hogan still wears, you know, yellow T-shirt in his band. The image is so important that you can never let it go once you create it. Lady Gaga would probably still look like Lady Gaga 20 years from now. She would still be cutting the edge. She would still be retro. She would still have, you know, designs out of the yin-yang because that is her image and is her brand and is what her selling is. It's not for everybody. It may not be for you. But this is what the image does for you, and it's hard to change it. So be very careful on what you portray and how you allow your image to be exploited. Right now, I think, who is it, Disney makes more money on licensing agreements, licensing their product for other people to, you know, emulate it or to utilize it. But they are so protective of their licensing agreement that you have to have Mickey's ears a certain diameter, certain centimeter. It can't be this. You can't have them in questionable positions. You can't have them drinking beverages that are not of the image or the brand. Right now, there are hitching posts where if you were to have a horse, you would hitch your horse up to it going down Main Street in Disney World. These hitching posts are black. They get nicked. They get scraped. People touch them every single day. They paint them frequently. How frequently? Daily. Every night they paint those hitching posts. They have a merry-go-round that is painted in 24-karat gold. Every night the merry-go-round is painted. It is touched up. This is their image. Who would see that? Who would even be concerned with that? They are. So that's why Disney's employees buy into the brand, the mission statement, the vision, because they live it every single day. They don't say, oh, you know what, we don't want to paint it today. Who's going to really notice that? If one person notices that, to them, a million people have noticed that, and it has tarnished their image, their brand. Most people won't even take that much detail in washing their face. They won't take that much detail in saying something nice to their children. They won't take that much time and energy to prep themselves for their meeting. People, your image is important. I tell you this because I care. Because what I've seen for so long, people have turned a deaf eye and a deaf ear to it, and we could no longer stand for it. Hold yourself out in a better light. Protect your image. It is your brand. It will take you further than anything you can say. It will let you get in doors that will normally be closed if your image and your brand is appropriate. With that being said, people, we had a great show once again. We love you. We appreciate your time. And take care of yourself and your family. Have a great day. Bye now.